Welcome to No Longer Conformed. I'm Eric Garthy, and we are studying Questions People Ask, Part 2, Life's Important Concerns. In this session, we'll be looking at Acts chapter 17, verses 16 to 31. Are all religions equal? Let's read our text in Acts chapter 17, beginning with verse 16. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshippers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there. And then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods, because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus, saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know what these things mean." For all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or hear some new thing. And then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with the inscription to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. Nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he's not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of our own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." There are five popular attitudes about religion in America. There's no way to know who's right. It's arrogant to suggest you alone have the truth. All religions basically teach the same thing. I can be spiritual without being religious. It doesn't make a difference anyway. These ideas provoke several questions. What makes a religion legitimate? Are there multiple paths to God? What distinguishes Christianity from other faiths? Isn't it enough to be sincere? And why does this matter? Let me address this issue by outlining four keys to understanding religion and believing properly. First, a religion is valid by its object of worship. Verse 16 in verses 22 and 23. Now, while Paul waited for them in Acts chapter 17, in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. And then verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the object of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing. Him I proclaim to you. False gods have always existed. In his letter to the believers at Rome, Paul indicated that idolatry flows from a rebellion against the Lord and a heart darkened by sin. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. Since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made with corruptible man, made like corruptible men, and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. What are the objects that people worship? Their focuses that come from one of five sources: manifestations of nature, animals, plants, planets, stars, or phenomenon, you know, something that's unexplained. Come from creation of idols and images, elevation of humans or human ideas, veneration of spirits or Satan, or the revelation of God. A question we must answer from a skeptical world is, what does it matter what you call God? Aren't we all praying to the same being? It matters because the object of our worship determines the legitimacy of our worship. If man cuts a branch from a tree, cuts it in half, throws one half in the fire, and carves the other half into an idol, then the object of his worship is the work of his own hands. That makes it invalid for adoration as a god. Likewise, carving a stick or a sculpture Carving a stick or sculpting a stone won't make it a god, regardless what you call it. A religion's credibility depends on the reality of the god it worships. The first four objects of worship above are nothing more than man-made inventions or imaginations of God. Second, God is not the common focus of all religions. Verses 23 to 25. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. What is it that makes people think that all religions are basically the same? It's because they see in all religions one common denominator: the concept of God. But as we've already considered, a concept of God does not necessarily equal God. In our text of Acts 17, the Apostle Paul made six claims about God versus all the idols there in Athens and down through history. There's only one God. Verse 24, God, he says. God dwells in heaven, not in temples. Verse 24, God is not a human creation. We ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Verse 29. God is self-existent, as though he needed anything. Verse 25. God is the source of all life. He gives to all life, breath, and all things, for in him we live and move and have our being. verses 25 and 28. And sixth, God demands allegiance. God now commands all men everywhere to repent. Verse 30. Paul argues that God has revealed himself. The issue for us is whether we accept him as Savior and surrender to him as Lord. We are brought to the same place Joshua brought the children of Israel to after they conquered the promised land. Look at Joshua 24 and verse 15. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And then third, Jesus distinguishes Christianity from all other religions. Verses 18, verse 31. Verse 18, then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, what does this babbler want to say? Others said, he seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. And then jump down to verse 31. Because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Everyone has an opinion about Jesus. The Jews say he was a good teacher or prophet, but not the Messiah. The Hindus say he's not a god, but one of the many avatars or saviors or Vishnu. Buddhists say he was a good teacher, but lower than Buddha. Muslims say he was a prophet, but lower than Muhammad. In contrast to all other religions, Christianity recognizes Jesus as the Son of the living God. He is the central figure of our faith. The Apostle John tells us that to reject Jesus is to reject God altogether. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 23. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. What about history makes him different from all other religions and all other religious leaders of history? How is Christ distinct? His sinless life, his substitutionary death, his bodily resurrection, his offer of forgiveness by grace through faith. And then fourth, eternity depends on the God you follow. Verses 26, 27. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Why can't we just be open-minded and tolerant and accept anything as God? The answer is that eternity hinges on the ability of your God to save you. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said that humans are on one of two roads. Verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. And in verse 14, because narrow is the gate and is difficult in the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. If you examine all religions, you will find they fit into two categories, works-based or faith-based. How can you know which religion is right? The ultimate test of a religion is simple. When you come to death, can your God deliver? The Lord God can save all those that come to him through faith in Jesus, his Son. You have a great day.